So we turn to our order of service for the second Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory forever. As once you ransomed your people from Egypt and led them to freedom in the promised land, so now you have delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your risen Son. May we, the first fruits of your new creation, rejoice in this new day that you have made and praise you for your mighty acts. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast. Not with the old leaven of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Come, let us find the risen Lord. Come with your whole self, with your worries and your successes, your fears and your joys, your questions and your answers. Come, all who are excited and all who are anxious. Come, all who are confident and all who are searching. God will meet us here. Amen.
Amen. Revelations 1:4-8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or sold houses and brought the proceeds of what was sold, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 118, beginning at verse 14. Please join in with the words in bold. I will give thanks to you, for you have become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Joyful shouts of salvation sound from the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does mighty deeds. The right hand of the Lord raises up. The right hand of the Lord does mighty deeds. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has punished me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. I will give thanks to you, for you have become my salvation. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Come, O Lord, and save us as we pray. Come, Lord, send us now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Link the pilgrims with cords right to the horns of the altar. I will give thanks to you, for you have become my salvation. You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. I will give thanks to you, for you have become my salvation. Saving God, open the gates of righteousness, that your pilgrim people may enter and be built into a living temple on the cornerstone of our salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, world without end. Amen.
Now the reading from the Gospel of John 20, 19 to end. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but they are written
so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and that though believing you may be have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Sorry, we seem to have lost you all. Yeah, we've got you back now. I don't know whether you could see me then, but we couldn't see anything. Phew. There were once six blind men who stood by the roadside every day and begged from the people who were passing by. They had often heard of elephants, but they had never seen one, for being blind, how could they? So it happened one morning that an elephant was driven down the road where they stood. When they were told that the great beast was before them, they asked the driver to let him stop so that they might see him. Of course, they couldn't see him with their eyes, but they thought that by touching him, they could learn what sort of animal he was. The first one happened to put his hand on the elephant's side. "Well," he said, "now I know all about this beast. He's exactly like a wall." The second felt only the elephant's tusk. "My brother," he said, "you are mistaken. He is not like a wall. He is round and smooth and sharp. He is more like a spear than anything else." The third happened to take hold of the elephant's trunk. "Both of you are wrong," he said. "Anyone who knows anything can see that this elephant is like a snake." The fourth reached out his arms and grasped one of the elephant's legs. "Oh, how blind you are," he said. "It is very plain to me that he is round and tall like a tree." The fifth was a very tall man, and he chanced to take hold of the elephant's ear. "This beast is not like any of the things you name," he said. "He is exactly like a huge fan." The sixth was very blind indeed, and it was some time before he could find the elephant at all. At last, he seized the animal's tail. "Oh, you foolish fellows," he cried. "You surely have lost your senses. This elephant is not like a wall or a spear or a snake or a tree. Neither is he like a fan. But any person with a particle of sense can see that he is exactly like a rope." Then the elephant moved on, and the six blind men sat by the roadside all day and quarrelled about him. Each believed that he knew just how the elephant looked, and each week called the other hard names because they did not agree with him. People who have eyes sometimes act foolishly. This is an old story originating in India, but found in many forms. The point of the story is that none of the men recognizes the animal as an elephant because each person only had partial experience and limited perception. So they only have a small part of the whole truth. To learn the truth, we must put all the parts together, concludes one version of this story. And in many ways, that's what we're doing today in our post-Easter readings, piecing together different aspects of the same story. Many people doubted the rumours of the resurrection. The first to disbelieve were those closest to Jesus. The two people who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus went back to tell the disciples, but the disciples did not believe them either. And Thomas, in today's gospel reading, became the most well-known doubter. Matthew's gospel ends with the words that some worshipped Jesus and some still doubted. And later, when Paul was preaching in the Areopagus, some of the Athenians heard Paul's claim that Jesus was risen from the dead, and they sneered. doubting the truth of the resurrection was a common feature amongst those who lived in the years after Jesus' crucifixion. And it still is. But as those early followers of Jesus began to piece together the fragments of their story, doubt gave way to conviction, and faith and belief in the risen Lord Jesus flourished and grew, so that a small and insignificant Jewish sect became a global, worldwide movement. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a question which still hangs over us, just as it hung over Thomas all those years ago. So what can we learn from Thomas's story this morning? Firstly, Jesus appears to his disciples. He's resurrected. He's alive. He has a body. He inhabits it. But that body still has the wounds. I think I tend to think that a resurrected body must mean that it is a body that is perfect and whole and unblemished, not one that still carries wounds and scars, but Jesus' body did. Jesus' wounded body reminds us that some hurts last a long, long time. Transformation is a journey. It evolves. It's being changed from glory into glory. It's not instantaneous. Jesus' wounds were fresh, fresh and raw enough for Thomas to feel them and touch them. I can imagine Jesus feeling pain when Thomas touched them. Thomas needed to touch those wounds because he needed to know that Jesus was real and that he was there with Thomas in his doubt and grief. It was necessary for Jesus to show his real, broken and wounded body. After all, our bodies are important, aren't they? They are how we feel things. My stomach aches when I am nervous. My chest hurts when I weep. My throat tightens when I'm anxious and my cheeks burn when I'm angry. Everything about me feels warm and free when I am happy. Jesus was not afraid to show his resurrected, wounded body. His body did not compromise his glorious resurrection. Rather, his broken, wounded body made it even more wonderful. Thomas missed out on seeing Jesus. He dismissed his friends' testimonies. His doubting is often seen as a weakness. But I don't think that's the case. Thomas was determined to have his own encounter with Jesus. He was honest, expressing his doubt to his believing friends. According to John, Thomas had to wait a whole week until he met with Jesus. I wonder what that week was like for him. Did he think his friends had gone mad? Did he wonder if he would ever meet Jesus for himself? Did he think he was not good enough to do so? Did he think he had been forgotten? Did he think he had missed out and that would be forever? What is refreshing about Thomas was that he felt able to express his doubts openly to his friends. And he wasn't excluded. He was still part of the group, even though he didn't believe. He didn't have to skulk around on the edge of things. He was there with everyone else when Jesus appeared. And Jesus comes to Thomas and meets him right where he was, and allows him to do what he had to do. And when Thomas's doubts met Jesus' wounds, something extraordinary happened. New life appeared. Faith grew. The community was empowered, and resurrection happened again. May resurrection happen again for us too, each and every day. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Father, we praise you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Shed his glorious light on all Christian people, that we may live as those who believe in the triumph of the cross. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
We pray for those who at this season are receiving in baptism your Son's new life by water and the Spirit. Dying with Christ, may they know the power of his resurrection. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
We pray for all whom we know and love, both near and far. May their eyes be opened to see the glory of the risen Lord. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
We pray for all who suffer pain and anguish and who stand in the need of your strength and healing today, especially Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Stephen, and Margaret. Bring them your healing and fill them with your peace. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
We remember before you all who have died in the hope of resurrection, especially Eileen Sauder and Bob Ogden. Unite us with them in your undying love. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved mankind, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross and rose again on the third day, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us. The collect of the day. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth. Through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. Amen. God the Son, who in bursting the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. Amen. God the Holy Spirit, to whom the risen Lord breathed into his disciples, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. And we say together, God of our salvation, you have restored us to life, and by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ, you have brought us back again into your love. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, everybody, and hope to see you soon. There's the coffee morning on Wednesday, and the following week, I think the 4th of May, the coffee morning is at the Red Lion in Oakford. If you need a lift, we will try and arrange that for you. If you need to come from town or actually anywhere, we'll try and get you there. Have a really good week and hope to see you soon.
Oh yeah, sorry, and the choir is starting as well this Thursday, so we look forward to seeing some of you at the choir at some Oakford in the church at 7:30 this Thursday.
Yep, that's the Jubilee choir. Anyway, God bless you all. See you all soon. Bye bye.